the other right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And love you all so very, very much, and you continue to check up on me and everything else, and lifers are the best fans in the world, and I'm going to continue this episode of what happened. And sorry I had to make it a two-part, but it's a lot more shit that goes in it, y'all. So let's just get straight down to it. And when I left you last, I had just been admitted into the hospital because I was so fucking sick, basically, and they couldn't get my blood pressure up, and the high fevers, and, total shit show that was, couldn't see, and all kinds of bad stuff. And so it was late at night, and got admitted in to the hospital itself, because they ran all the basic tests and excluded everything else in the emergency room, right? So they moved me to the room at 11:50 p.m., and they started testing me for sepsis. A lady named Lexis was my first nurse. And y'all, I wish I had all the names, because 90% of them are so great. And Lexis is the one that I told that, my head's in pain, my body's in pain, and I'm on fire, right? And, so they do whatever. And that night, that's 11:50 at night. They're coming in just nonstop, people coming in, et cetera, right? The next morning, early, I wouldn't think doctors would be at the hospital this early, but I had a number of different doctors, and the first one was Dr. Upu. I hope I said your name right, sweetie. She came in, she ordered an ultrasound of my heart, and they came in, they did that, like with the gel and the machine, like you're looking for a baby and shit, and did it in all my valves and, whatever, right? I'm still hooked up to fluids, and they started me on something, vancomycin or something like that. They also did a leg ultrasound, just like my heart. They took that machine, they traced all my major veins to make sure there was no blockage and what have you. Now, I'm in a world of fucking hurt and can't breathe, I guess I couldn't breathe a lot, but mainly because of the pain and light and sound sensitivity, high fever, low blood pressure. And y'all, when I say low, that shit kept dropping, and they kept pumping full of fluids. Supposedly, and I may be wrong on this, but I think the fluids were to try to get my blood pressure back up to a manageable level. And a lot of the pain and everything I was having was attributed to that, but they didn't understand what was causing the low blood pressure, right? So a Dr. Upu comes in, and they call her like the house doctor. She just generally sees everyone that's on the floor, and then she calls in whatever doctors from the other fields that, you know, to check out my shit, I guess, right? So they did the ultrasound and all that, and then they come back later that day, and they said, well, you know what? We need to do a spinal tap to rule out spinal meningitis because you definitely got a viral infection, and we think you might have meningitis. And I'm like, I never heard anything good about a fucking spinal tap in my entire life. But they ordered it. I didn't want it, but I mean, I'm in there and you got to have it, right? They take me down at some point, that day, same day. I've had no sleep. Look, fucking hospitals, man. It was like every fucking minute somebody was coming in the door. I had the lights off, no sound, like, and it's just knocking door, knock, and come in. Housekeeping, and one girl comes in, and she's got a fucking duster, and she starts to dust the blinds and making noise with the blinds and doing this. I'm like, hey, you fucking can't be in here. And I mean, every little sound was like stabbing me in the head. And basically, I kicked her out, right? And then somebody else would come in. They bring you a meal, right? Oh, whatever. Here's your breakfast. And I'm like, fuck. I just want to lay here. Just leave me alone. The lights are out, and it just kept going on. And I think Cindy was taking notes, and it worked out to be until we stopped it, put a stop to it, and then it was still bad. But it worked out to be like every 2 to 9 fucking minutes, somebody came in my room. All right, and then they would want to talk, or they're changing this, or they want to mop, or they want to do whatever. And of course, my nurses were coming in, these doctors were coming in, and I'm like, fucking, I can't do this. I can't take it. I mean, it was bad. Of course, they were coming in on my blood pressure and all that stuff. And, but they ordered the fucking spinal tap. All right. And at some point they take me out, they roll me out. I had to get on another bed, and I put a shirt around my head, and I don't know where they took me, wherever the fuck that you do spinal taps at, you know, lumbar punctures or whatever you call it. And I was in like the waiting area of that. And oh man, what's his name? I think it's gotta be the last name is Bursaji. He's a lifer. His wife is, and the girls with bomb deals, great, great, great lifers. And he was like, hey, he said, I saw your name. I was wondering if it was going to be you. He said, you're in bad shape, huh? He said, well, we're going to get you in here and get this taken care of, get this spinal thing. He said, you know, they're going to give you a lot of deadening shots around where they're going to stick the big needle into your spine, and they got to get spinal fluid out. And I'm like, bro, when he told me about his wife, and I was like, you tell her I said hi, and I hadn't seen her in a minute. And you tell those girls I said hi and everything. And he had come to one of the crew bashes and all that. But I remember them wheeling me in for the procedure, and he wasn't in the ring for that. And Cindy was out in another waiting area away from where I was. But I have now, I have my face wrapped, and they did get me off, and they put me on this gurney face down. I said, yeah, lay face down. I said, I don't give a fuck. Just do what you got to do. I just certainly don't want anybody fucking with my spine with a big needle or anything like that. But I'm in the hands of professionals, right? And I remember laying down, face down, and it's at least 3 different women in the room. I didn't see any of them. I never took my shirt off my face. And the doctor was like, or what, I guess they're a doctor, I don't know. She was like, I'm going to give you all these shots. and you're gonna feel them, and it'll be whatever, and then I'm gonna stick you and get the fluid out. I'm gonna like do whatever you got to do. I don't care. And so she starts giving the shots. And now look, you know, it's a day at the office for them. I get that. They're talking about their husbands. One of them was in Gulf Shores golfing, and one of them was doing such and such. And you know, the lady that was giving me the shots, the one that was going to do the spinal tap, is talking about them too. And they're joking shit about their husbands. And like, I'm there dying. Like, I'm in like the worst fucking pain. The shots were nothing compared to everything else that I was feeling. And I just wanted it over with. And she said, well, after she gave me the shot, she said, you're going to feel a little pressure. I'm like, I don't care. She said, it's going to be pressure, though. It's not going to be pain. I said, I don't care. Just do what you got to do. And she started sticking me. And I said, I could feel that. And she said, don't worry about it. It's just pressure. I said, no, I could feel it. And y'all, it felt like you ever had the sciatic pain in your back? That shit hurts, right? Like it's that, there's no feeling like that in the world. And I could feel that when she's putting the big needle in, and I can't see it, but I can know she's sticking me because I can feel it. I said, it's pain. And she said, no, that's just pressure. And I said, I'm telling you, it's pain. She said, no, it's pressure. And then y'all, I'll never forget it. It went through my lower right side of my back, down my leg, all the way to my foot. And it fucking, I came off the table and I started screaming like a bitch. I was like, fuck, fuck. And as bad as pain as I was in, that pain that went down my leg to my fucking foot, I was like, fuck. And now here I am. I got this big ass needle in my spine or close to it. And she's like, oh, and then they all got fucking serious, right? She's like, no, no, stop, stop. She said, don't move. And she said, what is it? And I said, I can fucking feel it. And so she did whatever. They got all serious and shit. Then no more joking about golfing and whatever. And I'm sure they thought it was going to be another routine spinal tap. But in the shit show I'm living and breathing, you know, it was just fucked. And I didn't know at the time that something, she had hit a nerve or something, but I looked it up later on. But she was like, she said, just be still, just be still. And she said, you know, I don't know if she deadened it more or did whatever the fuck, because I was face down. And then and I could feel the pressure that after she was like, got off the nerve or whatever it was. And I'm literally fucking crying, right? And evidently she made it to my spine. And guess what? They weren't talking. And then she said, there's no spinal fluid. She said, I can't get anything out. And, you know, I guess that's not a normal deal for them. And she said, I'm going to keep trying. She kept trying. And there, evidently, she could not get any spinal fluid out of my spine. And she said, baby, she said, listen, you're going to have to turn on your side. She said, the needle is in your back. We're going to help you. You're going to have to turn on your side. I've got to try to get fluid out another way. Later on, when I read up on that part, when you have such low blood pressure, evidently it's harder to get spinal fluid out. And so they put me, I said, I don't care, just fucking do it, right? And at this point, I had the red ass. And they gently get me on my side. I'm assuming the needle was still in my back. I don't know for sure. But they, like, kid gloves now, right? Get me on my side. And went another minute or two or however long it was. And she said, I still can't get anything out. And I can't get any fluid. And I don't know what the fuck they were going to do then, cut me open or whatever. But then at some point, she said, oh, here it comes. And she got enough spinal fluid out, right? I don't think I've ever screamed that loud in my entire fucking life. Whenever that pain went down all the way down to my foot. And when she got done, I said, that pain went all the way to my foot. And she said, well, you're okay now. And, you know, we got the fluid and whatever. And I don't know if you call it recovery, but I was there for a few more minutes or however long. Fuck, it may have been an hour. I don't know. And they wheeled me back out to where Sin was, and my face is covered. I'm not looking at anybody. they wheeled me all the way back through the hospital and the elevators, and everything's killing me, right? And we got back to the room, we got back into bed, and I said, did you hear me scream? She said, what are you talking about? I said, did you hear me fucking scream? I screamed the loudest I've ever screamed in my life. And she said, no. She said, they told me everything was fine. They came out and said they got the spinal fluid and that you were doing great and everything went fine. I said, well, I can fucking tell you one thing. It didn't go fine, right? I mean, that shit ain't supposed to happen. But it's just par for the fucking course, right? Just a real bad shit show. So they sent that off, and it is what it is, right? Later that night, now, meanwhile, don't forget, they are pumping me full of fluids. Later that night at 3:33 a.m., my wife is really concerned, right? And she asked to see the doctor. Now, I'm pretty sure if it's 3:30 in the morning and you're the doctor on shift, that, you know, means you're the low man on the totem pole. And for whatever reason, Cindy kept pressing it. And she's like outside the room of me, and unbeknownst to me, I mean, I was sick as fuck. My fever was 102.9. The pain was getting worse. My whole bed is shaking. My body's trying to cool itself down, et cetera. And not only a Dr. Westerfield came, okay? And this was around 4 a.m., so about 30 minutes later. And a guy named TJ, or I'm assuming it was a guy, who was a charge nurse, and also somebody named Jared, who was the house manager. They all came to the room. And what I remember about that is, they're talking, and Cindy's talking, and this was elderly, he's probably my age. This Dr. Westerfield introduced himself as, I think it was, what did I say, Westerfield? This doctor entered, and I remember this, they came in and turned on the light, and yeah, Westerfield, and they start talking, and Cindy's like, you know, he's got 103 fever, you can see the whole bed shaking, and da da da, and he was like, that's common, his body's fighting an infection, and they're going back and forth, and Cindy's like, well, what if it was your wife, what would you do? He said, Miss Overton, I know this sucks, but, you know, I see patients get in here with 106 degree fever, and their whole bed is shaking so bad you can see it from down, yeah, you can hear it from down the hallway, right? And they were going on about it, and I was like, y'all need to leave the fucking room. I mean, it was killing me. Every word they were saying, just absolutely, I'm getting stabbed in the head. My whole body's hurting. I got 103 fucking fever. And I was like, just get the fuck out of my room. And I did it. I said it. I was ugly as fuck to the doctor, and I apologize. But, you know, it was bad. So the couple hours later, this is on Thursday, they had a Dr. Vu Takari, and I'm, sweetie, I hate it if I got your name wrong. I'm going to call her Dr. V. Now, she is head of the infectious disease department for the Our Lady of the Lake, all right? I can't put people's age into context, but she looked like it's just my age or older, right? Very well put together, very well spoken, and nice lady, but she's an infectious disease doctor. Now, the spinal tap come back, I got no spinal meningitis. They've ruled out everything else, and now they know I'm infected with some bad shit, and it's her job to find out what it is, or to attempt to. She came in because Dr. Westerfield, the one that came in 3:30 in the morning, had called her to look at me, and he told her, he said, Woody's symptoms are presenting like he has Lyme disease or some type of animal infection, right? And she said, you might have gotten rat urine, which would have been leptospirosis. You might have Lyme disease. You might even have something they call brucella. She said, but we got to do more blood work. We got to grow the shit in the in the dishes to find out what kind of, it's not something they could test for instantly. They had to draw more blood all the fucking time and put it in the dish, petri dish, and watch it grow. And whatever it grew, she would know. She's been doing it 20, 30 years. She could look at it and tell you what it is, right? I mean, that's what she does, infectious diseases. So she did that. They brought in a hematologist. There was a Dr. Cataldo who came in, and I was able to talk at that time, and I was thinking of Dr. Cataldo, who was the coroner after Hurricane Katrina that worked all the bodies and put them in the refrigerated trucks and all that stuff. And so I said something about that, and he's like, no, my name's different. The oncologist, that's what it was. That was Dr. Cataldo's nurse practitioner and hematology / oncologist. Now we got to make sure Woody doesn't have cancer, right? And they did all that shit. But Dr. V, Vuta Kari, that I told you about, she's like, I'm going to start him on a wide range of antibiotics for animal diseases.
A few years back, Ms. Jerry was complaining about having hot flashes and being sleep deprived. I was dealing with what experts call her mild mood swings. With all the sympathy I could muster, I would just tell her to have a cocktail or two before bed and that it would go away. I didn't know it was the beginning of menopause, but she did. She probably went to 5 doctors trying to find the right diagnosis. And while all that was going on, I renamed the house the Death Star and stayed away as much as I could. What Miss Jerry and I didn't know is while all of that was going on, an Aussie by the name of Matthew Murphy was formulating a solution. Murphy's secret is his understanding of the communication channel between your gut and your brain. Murphy tapped into that communication channel, realizing that no two women are the same. That's why he created a holistic solution that adapts to a woman's unique needs and rebalances their entire system from the inside out. That solution is called Hormone Harmony. So if you're enduring hormonal changes and dealing with stress, digestive issues, mood swings, erratic sleeping patterns, and your husband has a bar stool with his name on it down at the corner bar, take your life back. Reduce your menopause symptoms now. Try Hormone Harmony. Real Life, Real Crime, The Daily Show, and now the WOW listeners all get 15% off with our code RLRC. Just visit happymammoth.com and use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right. So just in case, all these different ones. So they start adding all these antibiotics into my shit. And, you know, she pretty much knew that I had some type of infection. So they did that. Now, all this shit's going on. I'm still sick as fuck. And my wife tells me, she says, I have something to tell you. And I said, what? And I mean, how can this shit show get any worse? She said, your daddy's being brought to the hospital by ambulance. Now, that's like hour and 20 minutes away from their house. Evidently, I won't go into it for personal reasons. But they were bringing him to the hospital by ambulance, which is never good. He's like 83, 84. And I'm like, fuck. And they get him to the hospital. And he had to sit in the emergency room. They do test, and guess what? He tests positive for COVID. Now, so did one of the ladies that helps take care of him. She tested positive for COVID, and pretty sure my mama had it too. But my mom's like, "Fuck it, I'm not getting the test." And so this is going on. Now I'm worried about my daddy on top of everything else, but I couldn't do anything, right? And I told Sin, I said, my dad was still in the emergency room. I said, go down there and talk with my mom, right? I mean, she's got to be upset and everything else. And she did. And while she was gone, Dr. Cataldo and Dr. Westfield came in the room, not Dr. V. And they said, based on the rod size, whatever that is, I guess that's what's growing in the petri dish, that I had to have what they call brucellosis, all right? And we'll get into that in a few minutes. The my symptoms, the were getting worse. And they can't just, you know, they could tell you what they think it is, but that they could be confirmed as brucellosis, because once they saw what they thought to be brucellosis, it's so motherfucking rare. There's only one lab in the United States of America that tests for it and can confirm it. So they had to take more blood, and they flew it. They flew it on a jet plane. I think it's California somewhere, to have it tested. Now, when this lab gets it, they got to do the same process they were doing the lake, right? They got to put it in a dish and grow it. And if I get the medical terms wrong, y'all, I apologize. But they had to put it in a dish and grow it, and that's the way that it was. But meanwhile, I'm getting worse, right? And Dr. Upu, who's the house doctor, came back in and was checking me out. And I said, I started having chest pain, y'all, right on my sternum. Now, I got all this pain in my head and my upper body, and really, like I said, when I get down to my chest, even though I knew I was having pain in my chest, it didn't even fucking register with me. I mean, it hurt right in my sternum. It hurt, but everything else was hurting so bad, I didn't really give a fuck. And Cindy said that when I would fall asleep, I was taking very short breaths. I didn't know I was doing this, right? Cindy gets the Dr. Upu in, and she's telling me, she told her about it. And Cindy said, look, I want you to understand something. Woody is very swollen. And she said, what do you mean? And she said, normally when he lays down, that he's so skinny that he has like an indention in his stomach. She said, look at his stomach. It's swollen. It's sticking out. And she said, my face, I mean, fuck, I am skinny. I get it. And she said, but my face was full. My arms were full, my hands. And she's like, that's not Woody. And the doctor was like, that's, if you get swollen, you only get swollen in one area. She told my wife, she said, that's fine. Don't worry about it, et cetera. Well, she leaves. And meanwhile, my head continued to get worse and worse, which how can it get any worse at this point? I don't even know. But my chest, and this was the real fucking deal, my chest started to hurt worse. My sternum, it was like it was broken, and every breath hurt, right? So that was like at 9:24 in the morning. At 12:15 p.m., Dr. V, the infectious disease doctor, comes back in, and she asked about the pains that I was having, and she touched my stomach, and she said I was fine, right? Well, okay. She said the pains, my chest pains were caused by the fluid. The 3 hours later, at 3:15, Kennedy, the nurse, came in, and they were doing my vitals and shit, and she asked me, she put the stethoscope on me, and she said, take a deep breath, which they'd been doing, and it was been fine. And when she did, it was fucked. I started coughing. I mean, I couldn't catch my breath. I didn't realize it because I hadn't taken a deep breath. When I started taking a deep breath, I took the deep breath. And when I did, I started coughing. I couldn't catch my breath. And guess what happened? I was coughing, and I started coughing up blood. While I'm coughing, I'm like, can't catch my breath. Coughing, and I can't. It's so much coughing coming up, blood coming up. I can't catch my fucking breath, right? And what did they do? Kennedy left, called the doctor, and the doctor said, send him for a chest x-ray. Another trip down the hallway, across the hospital, whatever the fuck. And I'd had MRIs done and CAT scans, all this time during this pain, but they took me for the chest x-ray. Well, guess what? It comes back, and I got diagnosed with a pulmonary edema, which basically how they explained sin was I had fluid. I had so much fluid on me that I was in going into congestive heart failure. I had that much fluid around my heart, right? And at that time, that was at 3:15 when they sent me for the chest x-ray, like 4:19, I'm reading Cindy's name, that I was diagnosed with that pulmonary edema or whatever. She demanded to see the doctor again, and Dr. Upa was the one that came back in. And Cindy mama bared and basically ripped into her, took her out in the hallway because I couldn't hear it, you know, because of the pain, et cetera. And she demanded to see the head doctor. She went to the charge nurse, Adrian, and said, I'm going to stand here until I get the head doctor, right? And the head doctor comes and she complains about getting better and about the edema, me coughing up the blood, the chest pains and all that stuff. And that doctor started me immediately on Lasix or whatever it's called, where you pee a lot. I remember him being in the room and he was like, he said his body weight. And I don't know if those beds in the hospital measure your body weight or whatever, but he's looking at my chart from when I came in. I had gained 22 pounds in 2 days, and it was all because of the fluid. Now, the fluids they were pumping me with was to keep my blood pressure up to keep me alive. But he was like, pretty sure he's going to die from this if we don't get the fluid off his heart and everywhere else, right? So just more shit show. And the coughing up of the blood, that doctor said that's unexcusable. And they assured her that it would get better, you know, as the fluid got off. Now, the fluid part, oh, that was bad because I couldn't even get out of bed. So, and this might be TMI, I was literally, they didn't want to send me to get a catheter put in because it had to take me to radiology and would do whatever the fuck that process is. So I'm just pissing in this bottle in the bed and all the pain I'm in, and I pissed on myself so many times and I hadn't had a shower in forever. I can't imagine what that room smelled like, but okay. So now I think it's like, this is, Saturday morning or something. And they had called in a GI doctor. And this dude was fire. And I got to find his name. And I'll tell you why a little bit later, but he comes in, I'm vomiting blood now, right? Like hunks. It's not just blood. It's like, pieces of my stomach lining that are coming up in it, and they're taking photographs of it and all that stuff. So they bring him in and he's like, he said, bro, we got to have surgery. You got to go to surgery right now. He said, I got to get you. He said, I'm calling in my team. We got to get you in there. We're going to put you to sleep and we're going to, whatever the thing they shut down your throat to look at it. He said, I know you have internal bleeding, no doubt about it. He said, so we got to figure out where it's coming from. And then he asked me about the ibuprofens. He said, have you been eating a lot of ibuprofens? I said, I have eaten more ibuprofens probably anybody in the history of the world over the last 3 months, but especially over the last 2 weeks. And he was like, oh shit. He said, then you probably got holes in your stomach from the ibuprofen. He said, then there's a reason they tell you to only take two at a time on the bottle, right? While his team was getting ready and everything, they put these leg stimulators on me because my blood pressure, you know, was dropping, I guess because of the Lasix or whatever. And this thing, yeah, I can't rest anyway, but this thing's going off like every 2 minutes on both my legs, and it's pumping up air, which pushes all the blood into my heart to keep my blood pressure up. They go in, they take me down for surgery. Best group of people. And there were like four or five of them. I still had the shirt over my face and stuff like that. They end up being lifers, which was so freaking cool. You know, and the one's like, oh, I listen to you all the time. And the other one's like, yeah, I listen to that and da-da-da-da. And they were just real cool. And, of course, I was suffering really bad. The anesthesiologist comes in and explains stuff, whatever. They put me to sleep. do what they do and wake up. And I think that the doctor told me they fixed 9 holes in my stomach, bleeding ulcers. And so that happened on Saturday. And I get out and I'm in my room, whatever, still sick as fuck. And, Lex, no food. I can't eat any food or anything because of my stomach and the surgery and all that. And, another bad night, you know, the high fevers, the everything is such a shit show. And Cindy called back in the doctor, that head guy again at some point. Now, at this point, I think they know who I am, right? And they don't want anybody to die, but they certainly don't want me to die. And you know, I believe they're some of the best professionals in the world in what they do. But the guy comes back in, I remember him arguing over my fever again. And the doc, they started from like Percocets. I'm like, didn't even touch my shit. And then they went up to whatever and went up to whatever. Finally, he ordered oxytocin or cotton, whatever you call them, Oxycontin. And that was to be given every 2 hours and I could have Tylenol in between. And you know what? I could tell you when the oxy started to take effect because I had clarity for a few moments, so like maybe 30 or 40 minutes. And the only person I talked to when I was in the hospital twice, I talked to my dad. Now, remember, I told you my dad was in the hospital, right? But he was so worried about me and what have you. And when the oxy kicked in hard enough that I talked to him briefly those 2 times, I didn't do social media. I didn't look at my damn phone, right? But the oxys didn't do it. It wasn't enough. And that doctor came back in they called the doctor. Oh, the day after the surgery on Sunday, the one time, one of the only times Cindy ever left the damn room, she came home to get whatever or do whatever. I forced her out. Right. And, when she was gone, I'm in the bed and I'm like, holy fuck, I got to throw up. And I made it, however I made it to the toilet in time and I threw up and it was blood. And the GI doctor came back in and he didn't like that shit. He was like, bro, we can't have you throwing up. You just had major surgery in your stomach. And they did whatever to do that. But anyways, that doctor comes back in, the other one, and Cindy and him are arguing about, you know, I'm not getting any better. My pain and everything in my head and all that. And look, I remember this distinctly. And I remember I already kicked this doctor out and he's older than me. I already kicked him out of my room once and they're sitting there talking about it. And I said, with a moment of clarity, probably when the ox, he ordered and on the oxy, as soon as I had the oxy as soon as it started to wear off, I could call for a liquid shot of morphine. They would put it straight into my IV. And so that morphine, the problem with that is it only lasts like 20 or 30 minutes, but it really did give me some relief. And, but it didn't last, right? I could tell you as soon as it started to wear off. Anyway, that doctor's back in there, they're arguing about my shit. And Cindy's like, he's not getting any better. And da, 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 da. And they're going back and forth. And I said, listen, I don't give a fuck about the fevers. I don't give a fuck about the shakes. I don't care about the pain I had in my chest. All I care about is this pain in my head. I can't even fucking breathe. I said, I will deal with the fever, the pain from the fever or whatever. But right now, that shit's not even registering because my head is literally being torn to pieces. Even listen, y'all. I said, so I don't give a fuck. Cut the rest of the medicine out. Give me more medicine for my head. And then get the fuck out of my room because y'all are killing me. And that's actually when he ordered the morphine, right? And I mean, he's a good guy. It's not his fault. But it is what it is. So the y'all, they had started me on one of the antibiotics, and that was on a lot. It was called rifampin. And they look, they're taking blood like 7 or 8 times a day. They took it like 3:30 in the morning, The nurse would come on for a day shift. They take it in at 5:30. They take it at 11:30. And then these doctors' orders would come in, the different doctors, and they would take more blood throughout the day. And look, I was sick of it. I'm talking about my veins. I look like a damn dope head. Every vein had been stuck in every part of my body. But they said that rifampin or whatever it's called was messing up my liver. That came back in the blood work, and so they had to stop that, right? I was getting more and more frustrated, and I'm reading from Cindy's notes, and I knew we were going to be there longer, right? Nothing was getting fixed. Those couple of days were the ones when I was telling you that when the medicine kicked in, the morphine or whatever kicked in, I was brought down to a level where I could actually think. And all I would do is pray. And I don't care if you believe in God or don't believe in God or whatever you believe in, that's up to you. I'm not going to force my shit upon you. I'm just telling you what works for me. And I would pray. I prayed directly to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I'm having this moment where at least I can think. I said, Jesus, and I did my sins and everything, and I said, and I'm ready to go. If you want to take me home, please take me now, because I cannot deal with this anymore, right? Now, it had been like a couple nights before, like on that Wednesday night, I think, when I told Cindy, I said, we don't ever use this. Please get on Facebook and ask, tell everybody it's me. I'm asking for prayers this time because I know they work, right? And y'all answered and had been praying, and I found out so much more afterwards and everything. But I was frustrated and I was defeated and I was ready to go to heaven, right? To my heaven. So that's Saturday. Now Sunday comes, and remember, I've been on this broad spectrum of antibiotics, and Dr. V, the infection doctor, did come back in at one point, and she's like, Woody, it's going to be brucellosis. And she said, so I'm going to change your shit. She didn't say shit. I'm going to change the medicine. She said, I'm researching stuff. I talked to other doctors in the field that have treated brucellosis before. You can't have the rifampin or whatever it's called. She said, I'm going to start specifically targeting this, even though it hasn't fully grown out in the dish in California, wherever the fuck it was. And she said, so I'm going to start targeting this. And it's been probably on Friday or something like that, before my stomach surgery and all that. And on Sunday, I started feeling better. And that's just the truth. I'm like, the fever didn't come during the daytime or whatever. I wasn't out of the woods. My head was still hurting. My ears were ringing, but I was better. Now I'm on the oxy and the morphine. But I felt better. Right. And that night, and I'll never forget it, I was due for my next medicine, the next, oxy at 9:30 PM. And they gave it to me right now. That I hadn't had temperature all day, but I was feeling better. I can tell you, because I could look at my phone. I think that's one of the times I called my dad at 9:30 at night. They gave me that last oxy, and the nurse comes back in like an hour later expecting to give me the morphine. I said, I don't want it. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, I don't want any more pain medicine. I'm feeling better. And that night I went the whole night and never ran a fever. Now I know I'm turning a corner, right? Oh, I didn't take any more oxy. I didn't take a fucking Tylenol, nothing. So now I know I can feel myself getting better. I told you I'm attuned to my body. I can feel myself getting better. I go the whole night, and now I'm kind of fucking excited. And I'm not going to die. And I don't feel like I'm going to die. My head is finally feeling better. I was still sick as fuck, no doubt about it, but I was feeling better. And now I'm feeling better without pain medicines and stuff like that. And evidently whatever Dr. V had put me on was really starting to work. And that night was the night we turned the corner. Now me being me and hating hospitals, I couldn't wait for Dr. V to come back in at 8 or 9 in the morning. And, in from, because I wanted to go home, right? I think I'm good. And then she came in, and I was like, I said, Doc, no medicine and no fever for like 24 hours now. No fever. My head is better. Refusing pain meds. I'm ready to go home. And she said, you ain't going anywhere. And I'm like, Doc, just, you know, let me go, right? She said, no, you're not going to go. And I said, listen, Doc, the Saturday, I think it was Saturday, or maybe Sunday morning, I don't remember. At a certain point when I had a moment of clarity, I promised Jesus, I said, you know what? Oh, yeah, but it had to have been Sunday. Because I said, if you let me out of the hospital by now, I'm cutting deals, right? And I said, you let me out of the hospital by 5:30 tomorrow afternoon, I'll quit smoking forever, right? Well, Dr. V comes in. I said, look, I'm better. I'm ready to go home. And she's like, you're not going anywhere. And I told her about the deal I cut. And she said, well, now you, and she kind of laughed. She said, now you're putting the pressure on me. She said, but you're not going anywhere, right? But she told me that, you know, was definitely looking better and was feeling better and all that. The next day, Tuesday, she comes back in the morning thing, and y'all, I hadn't had any fever. I was feeling a million times better and everything. And I told her that. I said, Doc, I said, I want to go home, right? I want to go home now. She said, Mr. Overton, I don't think you understand how sick you were. She said, you were dead. She said, you were literally being held alive by different various means. And do you realize you've been here 8 days today, and this is the second time I've ever seen your face? She said, the rest of the time you covered your face up from the pain and everything else. And then she said, you definitely have brucellosis. It came back. It's confirmed. And what happened, y'all, was it's very, very rare. I thought I was the only case in the history of the state of Louisiana, and I'll explain that in a minute, but obviously I'm not. She said it's so super rare. She said it's not rare, but animal to animal happens all the time. And she said, but human transfer of brucellosis, I mean, animal transfer of brucellosis to a human, unheard of. And she said, I've never seen it in my entire history of my career being an infectious doctor in the state of Louisiana. I've never seen a case of this. She said, I've been consulting my colleagues, There were only two confirmed cases in the state, in the United States of America last year. She said, that's how rare it is. And I'm thinking, well, fuck, why couldn't I win the Powerball? Why I have to get brucellosis? She said, but you did, you know, we had talked previously about me cleaning animals and all that. And I told her it was almost three months. I cleaned like 17 hogs that weekend, but I cut myself really, really bad. And I always cut myself when I'm skin shed, but I cut myself really, really bad to the point where I wrapped it up in the blood pretty much all weekend. I had to keep wrapping it but I wasn't going to the doctor. Right. And I'm gonna post a picture this week and showing y'all with me with a hog and showing you my hand so you'll understand. She said, when you had that cut and you were cleaning those hogs, one of them was infected and you got that hog blood in your hand. And that's what made you so sick. And she said it came on over a long period of time and your body just got to where it couldn't fight it anymore and you're gonna die. And that's a fact. But obviously prayers work. Y'all came through once again and, you know, saved my life. And look, I'm going to tell you something. When I could watch the stuff, the videos and read text messages when I was feeling better, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, shit, it made me cry. And I felt so loved, so blessed that I have all y'all out there. And I will always say it to the day I die, your prayers are what carried me through. And people saying, don't give up. Shit, I'd given up. And that's the truth. I was ready to go. Wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. Sure, I want to see my kids. My first grandbaby's due in August, right? And I want to see my youngest son grow up. I want to see my older kids continue to thrive as young adults, right? I want to be married to my wife. And evidently God wasn't through with me yet. Y'all carried me through. And I'm scared to death of a hog now, right? But my kids ordered me Kevlar gloves. So when I clean them this year, I will be wearing gloves. And my buddy George would always be like, Rob, put on these plastic gloves. You're going to clean that hog without any gloves. And I jokingly would say, if I didn't, then I might miss out on a chance to give the hog something. Well, the joke was on me. I got the brucellosis. Now, brucellosis is real common throughout the rest of the world where they don't have like pasteurized milk and shit like that. And you can get it like that. But in the United States, they have more the cases that generally get reported are around Yellowstone National Park for whatever reason. But like if your herd of cattle test positive for brucellosis, so many of them test positive, you got to kill the whole herd. It's very infectious on animal to animal, but not animal to human. So let's fast forward. I get checked out at like 8:30 that night, full 8 days in the hospital. Would have been 9 nights. Get checked out, get sent home on home health care. I have one company that has to come draw my blood, send the blood to the lab, and then the same day the lab gets the results, they send it to specialty pharmacists who mix this one compound IV antibiotic that was so strong, if they get it wrong, it'd make me go deaf, right? So I had them, I had those two different companies. Before I left, they put in a pick line where the PA came in and they scoped it and they inserted the thing inside of my vein in my arm. So every time they came in and drew blood, or for 7 days, I had to take this liquid, this IV antibiotic. On top of that, I'm taking much more medicine, one for my stomach and one super strong antibiotic that it's a pill and I have to take it to mid-July. If I take that fucker and I don't eat 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after, I throw up. And I've thrown up a couple times since I've been home just because I missed that window. But I came home and made it through the home health care, finished that shit up, still on the medicine, feeling better. I dropped 7 episodes this past week, right? And so I'm back, and I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. You just don't know. All right. But now we're back. I'm going to tell you something. I feel better than I have felt in, I just couldn't tell you, years and years and years. So back, people. The Real Life Real Crime original is going to drop on Saturday. This will be the last one you get about a personal story like this. I'm going back to the old cases. Mondays is the Wow, the Woody Overton window with me and Mike Agravino. Tuesday, Jim Chapman and I, Real Life Real Crime Daily. Wednesday, Jim Chapman and I, Real Life Real Crime Daily. Thursday, Real Life Real Crime Daily, Jim and I. Thursday also, Bloody Angola, Jim and I. Friday, another Wow with Mike Agravino. So you're getting like 7 drops a week. Patreon members and comics, listen, I have something. It's in the tank. I'm not going to do it this week now because it's going to be too late. Next week you'll get it. Thank you for your continued support. I love it. But now I think it's been such a perfect shit show of bad things over however many long months. And knock on wood, I finally turned the corner on everything. So we're back. I'm rested, refreshed, ready to rock and roll. And I'm going to end this episode. I probably forgot some shit or whatever. So I'm going to say this. When I got out, I got called by like CDC and the infectious disease people, and they wanted to know when and where and how it happened and blah, blah, blah. I got contacted by another lifer because the lady had told me she had never had a case in Louisiana. I got contacted by another lifer who caught brucellosis from a fucking hog in Darlington, which is probably 10 miles from where I called it at when I was cleaning this one. And he had a lot of the same things that I had, and it came on over a period of 3 months, and they were in the hospital and they couldn't figure it out. We had some stuff that was different, but almost everything else was similar. Holy shit, people. It's a piece of a party you don't want any part of. But Anyway, I forgot what I was telling you. But so let's just end this. LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. You know, that's my jam. And you don't have to be from Louisiana to become an organ donor and save lives and be a hero. You can be a lifer from Istanbul, right? Go to LOPA.org, take 2 minutes, fill out the questionnaire, be a hero, right? Be a hero. People are dying every day waiting on organ transplants. And yes, they're a nonprofit. They do a lot more than that. But I've met so many of these survivors. I've met heroes' families, meaning the people who were the organ donors, and I met the basically survivors who received the organs. So if you can, please become an organ donor, okay? And talk to your family about organ donation. That's just as important. And one more time, I've got to say, the People's Choice Podcast Awards are coming up, and y'all know I've won every single one of them, including last year, the Big Enchilada I'm won Best Male Host several times, several years in a row, but last year, the only one I'd never won was Adam McCurry's People's Choice Podcast. That's all podcasts in the world, yeah, et cetera, and I won that last year. I'm not taking nominations for it. I'm not going to ask my fans to do it again. No doubt we could win, no doubt, but I've been doing it since we started Real Life Real Crime. 5 months afterwards, we got the nomination, made the finalists, and we won that first one for drama and storytelling in 2019. And over the years, we've won everyone: best true crime, best drama storytelling, best male host, most influential, Adam Curry's People's Choice, and win it multiple years in a row. You know what? Let somebody else have it. All right. Y'all validated me, I was thinking about this in the hospital. The grand scheme of the awards and the trophies and all that, that is really cool. There's no doubt. Super, super cool. But it didn't mean dick compared to y'all praying for me. And that's love. And I don't need a trophy to show me y'all's love. You showed it to me. And I'm here today because of y'all. Fact. Not an ass-kissing statement. That's a fucking fact. Take it to the bank. All right? And I'm going to conclude this episode. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time, or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?